Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind. It was
at East River 9, at least I am. John Lance, as John noted during the break, left here in record time. Hold on, John had a dentist appointment, so he's gone. Lance, I don't know where he was going, but I know he left quickly because he left his phone. And, of course, you would like to tell someone they left their phone. But they left their phone, so you can't tell them. So we'll see if he rolls back in here. Right now, he's missing calls from Pete's Fine Meat, so I'm sure that's a big deal for him. So we'll see how that goes. Lance Erline may roll in here when he eventually realizes he no longer has his phone. But we'll be here till noon. At least this show will be, and then the entire station will be here till 6 as Paul Gallant will follow me, and then the Killer Bees are after him. And East River 9 is a great place if you're just looking to have a quick round of golf. There he is. Welcome. You notice something missing? You missed a call from Pete, from Pete's Farm Meats. He says, damn it. Did you actually drive away?
Yeah.
He drove.
And it wouldn't connect.
You figured out, hey, how come I can't listen to whatever I want to listen to? So he's back and he's got his phone, so crisis averted. But as I said, we're here at East River 9. You can play golf, play pickleball. They got a great bar and restaurant and that giant TV that we always talk about if you want to watch your Astros a little bit later today. But you have an opportunity if you come out here and register. You have to do it in person to get a really nice prize brought to you by Power On E-Bikes. You get a pair of e-bikes at a value of $4,000 where every ride is electric. Come on out here and enjoy it. And, of course, East River 9 has their live music concert series every Friday and Saturday from 7 to 9. So if you want to come out here, and it's not that far away. We're from downtown, and it's not that long of a drive from the Astros game. Of course, the timing is a little conflicted, but if you want to watch the game here, maybe you just want to see the game, hear some great music, you can come out here and check it out as the Astros will face the Twins, but they will do that without Isak Paredes. Maybe. Isak Paredes, after the game, said he thought he would be available, but he has a hamstring issue. He had to leave last night's game, a game that the Astros won. And the most important part is they even a season series. We did not want to have losing that season series on the resume, so we got that done. As far as Paredes, we hope. Of course, nobody in that organization has ever messed up a diagnosis. Maybe the players are more accurate than the training staff. We'll see. He wants to play. You would hope that they decide just let the guy take a couple of days. If it's a 10-day IL, let it be the 10-day IL. But he has been, you would say probably, Sean, has he been the best acquisition, new player on the roster this year?
Yes. I think that's, I mean, his competitions, Christian Walker.
And Cam Smith, I guess.
Cam Smith. And any of the pitchers. I mean, I guess the Space Cowboys, but they don't count. But, yeah, so I think he is pretty easy. I think he's a top three a hitter, at least, in the Astros lineup, not just in place, but in how he's played so far. So it's going to be a big absence, whether it's one day and it's a whole bunch of nothing. Don't worry about it. It's another classic Astros injury that's no big deal. Or if it's one of the rare cases where Astros' injury drags on for longer than we think.
He has up to 15 home runs on the year, and the big talk about him coming in was the short porch, the Crawford boxes, and how many home runs he would have hit if he was playing with the Astros last year. He didn't have a great second half of a season once he was traded to the Cubs, much better in Tampa. He's regained some of that power now that he's an Astro with the 15 home runs. He hit 19 last year, so he's well on his way to surpassing that. His career high is 31. He did that in 2023 when he was with the Rays. So he has been a welcome addition. You just hope he's not gone for a long time. A guy who we're thankful rarely, if ever, gets hurt is Framber Valdez. We talked quite a bit about him escaping what appears to be a curse when it comes to Astros pitching. Well, another good outing, really good outing for Framber last night, the 12 strikeouts. He is just, when he's on, it's like, it's not a sigh of relief, I wouldn't put it that way, but it's just Framber's good, Framber's going, and we're probably going to have a good night. Now, there was a bit of a bobble he had to be talked to by the pitching coach. Some people thought it was more forceful than normal, but because Framber does have occasions where if things don't go his way, a one-run inning can turn into a three-run inning really quickly. Then he'll regain his form, but then those three runs can change the trajectory of the ball game. But he was solid throughout, and Hader came on and got another save. He's been perfect on the year as far as save opportunities. You know, he wasn't a guy who delivered a clean inning last night with the two hits and the one earned run. He did have a couple Ks, but Abreu has his 18th hole, and Hader has his 18th save. So that duo have combined to be pretty lights out. The back of the bullpen, you combine it with Framber, and you got going. He only went five, but that was enough, as he had the 12 strikeouts and only the one walk, which was a big deal. So they were able to avoid losing the series to the White Sox. They're back even. So no matter who the Pope is rooting for, the Astros at least this week were able to take care of business against the White Sox in a competitive series. The Astros did have the blowout in the game on Wednesday, but just look throughout these two teams have played. They played some pretty competitive ball games. You had 4-2 White Sox in game one of the series, and then you had the 4-3 win for the Astros last night. So we're good there. We move on to the Twins and Carlos Correa. And the discussion this morning was about the Astros fans and their reactions to former players. Sean, as a person who wears an Astro hat, not all the time, but consistently enough to know people will notice that you're an Astro fan. Where do we stand on that? Because you weren't part of that conversation. Whether it be tribute videos, the applause, Carlos Correa has been gone quite a while now. Do we still honor ex-Astros? Like when Tucker comes back, I'm sure he'll get his applause. Bregman, if he's healthy. And he probably will be, because I believe the Red Sox don't come here till August. He'll get his tribute video. Are we done? Carlos Correa, we get it. You played here. But now you've been a Twin for several years now. We don't need to acknowledge your existence with a loud standing ovation.
My take is actually pretty consistent, whether it's a guy's first time, or at least for the fans, whether it's a guy's first time or now Correa's like fifth time coming back. And I think the first time you do the tribute video for anyone, you know, like you guys were bringing up, like, should Hector Neris get a tribute video? That's where I'm like, yeah, I mean, come on. But I think as far as fans are concerned, I think it's pretty simple. Like, you just cheer him the first time he steps in the batter's box, and then after that, you're an opponent. But, like, I don't know. Do Astros fans want to like any of the 2017 Astros other than Altuve? Because that's, like, really what the crux of this is like, you just hate them all because they all left?
Yeah, I maybe the online fan. I don't think...
We've
had this conversation
before.
That's
always what we're talking about. The online fan
probably.
Yeah.
Like, the online fan is the one who goes, screw Bregman, he left. Well, you kind of knew he was leaving. Despite Altuve's pleas, this was always going to be the likely outcome that he wouldn't be an Astro past 2024. But you turn on him because you turn on him, I guess. I can't really explain it other than you were given false hope because you heard about the Astros offering him a contract and the negotiation stretched longer than you would have liked, and he eventually wound up someplace else when he got the money he was setting out to get. So the online fans in a bit of a bubble, and – they talk to each other and they sometimes agree, sometimes they don't. But generally, they have an overblown feeling about how guys should be reacted to. Like, either they're staunchly defending Christian Walker because other people are hating on Christian Walker, or they're killing Christian Walker because, hey, you were supposed to be really good here and you're not. So there's rarely any in between. I think the regular fan is generally like you, where the first time, even if it's, like you said, the fifth time, hey, Carlos Correa is back in town. Let's give him applause. We remember what happened. And then after that, now you're the opponent. We'd appreciate it if you don't cause us a loss. I think that's how a regular person is going to react when he steps into the box today.
Yeah, because, like, they literally won the World Series the year after he left with the guy who replaced a winning World Series MVP. It's like
you should not be bitter about it. And that guy's having a great year this year.
Won the breakup by a lot. He had two teams give him $300 million contracts and back out at the last second because of his medicals. And, I mean, he still ended up getting like $200 million. But
yeah,
still,
he still got his money.
Like, but guys, why are we bitter about Carlos Correa leaving?
That's really the question. Why would you be upset about it? But this stretches all the way back to Beltran. So you can't predict fan behavior and whether it's rational or not.
I do think that you guys made a good distinction, though, with Kyle Tucker, where Kyle Tucker, like, to quote Draymond Green, "I'm sorry we don't love you like that." But
yeah, sure.
I think the 2017 guys should get treated differently. I just that's generally my stance on this, is that if you're on the first team in franchise history to win the World Series months after Hurricane Harvey, like, I'm sorry, I'm just going to like those guys a little bit more even after they inevitably leave, because this team only plays one guy from that team. I guess two now. But they only kept two members of that core.
That's fair.
It's also like 7 years ago now, or almost 8 years ago now. Like, of course there's going to be a lot of turnover from that squad.
Yeah, to expect 8 years to have elapsed and for that squad to be anywhere near what it was, it's not realistic. Hell, the Astros' run isn't very realistic, the way they've been able to stay not just competitive, but at the top of the baseball world for as long as they have. That's not the norm.
And I think that plays a part in, like, the weird, like, I think it's forced, like, bitterness towards Bregman and Tucker and Correa when they leave, is that it's like, because the team is still competitive, there's a little bit of like, we're good. Now we got to knock them out of the playoff. It's like, I guess they played the Twins with Correa on them. They beat them pretty easily. Like, I think that's part of it, is that there's a, like, because this team hasn't aged out of contention, or, you know, they haven't had to start a new rebuild yet, I think that there's still a little bit of, like, hyper competitiveness when it comes to guys leaving.
Yeah. You look out and go, we don't miss you, but really it's more about, hey, you left. We're still really good, and you lost out on this one. At least that would be my approach.
Yeah.
The team has not suffered from. There have been incrementally they've become less talented in some ways because of the homegrown talent that's left. But overall, they're not really missing a beat. And even in a down year, what was supposed to be the off year for at least in some people's eyes this year, they are very comfortably in the lead in the AL West. And you're getting contributions, at least as we talked about earlier, from one of your new acquisitions, and then you might have a prize on your hands in Cam Smith from the Tucker trade. So from the day to day stuff we generally talk about, we get into some of the specifics of the missteps or whatever, and our jokes about their inability to figure out who's injured and who's not. But overall, there's not a lot to really complain about this team. But that's the nature of being a fan. You got to find something, particularly when you have a long season. Yeah, well, at least that's how it goes. I mean, I don't know if you have to, but it feels like that's the way it'll always go. But you win last night. You got the Twins coming in who are a pretty good team, but We'll see how the Astros do. They have Colton Gordon going today, one of the Houston space Cowboys. So another start for the guys we didn't know existed until like a month ago. We'll see how Colton Gordon does against Praddock from the Twins. All right, we'll go to break with that. Sean, our hate that we acknowledged yesterday with the Stanley Cup playoffs felt pretty good for a period, and then it all flipped. So we'll get into what happened in Sunrise, Florida yesterday as the Stanley Cup playoffs are now even at two. We had a guest appearance from maybe the biggest pop star in the world, and I don't think the hockey world reacted the same way the NFL world did. So we'll get into that when we come back.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
That voice belongs to Michael Carroll. He'll join us at 11:30 to tell you what you should or shouldn't be watching. He is the host of Comicast. He'll join us every Friday when he's available, or Thursday if he has a Friday off, but he's here with us, so he'll join us from the studio and give you an update on what's going on in TV and movies. So, as I said yesterday, I was going to have a split viewing experience. I was going to watch the hockey and the Astros, and the hockey, as it's been outside of Game 3 in this series, once again compelling as the Oilers go down 3-0 and fight back to win it 5-4 in overtime. Leon Draisaitl, a goal that deflected off a Panther defender through the legs of Bobrovsky, the goalie, and led to the Oilers tying it up. So that series is guaranteed for a long one, at least two more trips, the one back to Edmonton for Game 5 on Saturday, and then back to Florida, and we'll see who's up in that series with a chance to clinch it. So whether you are locked in on the sport, like someone who really wants hockey back in Houston, or just someone looking for anything to watch sports related in this period where there wasn't a finals game on, and maybe you're not as devoted to baseball in June as others, that's an alternative to watch what has been a really good series. And now people love rivalries, people like continuity when it comes to what the competition, and these teams played a 7-game series last year. We're getting another one this year, but I didn't know that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift would show up at a game in Sunrise, but they were there. And I did not see a lot of online chatter about why is TNT flashing to Kelce and Swift. I feel like the hockey people are like, hey, look at that. Taylor Swift's at the game. And Wayne Gretzky wound up taking a photo with her. There's a different vibe in that sport that struggled in some ways to gain attention. Really, it all started when they left ESPN, when I guess they just thought they weren't getting a good enough deal with ESPN. They wound up in, like, Versus when that channel existed, and NBC Sports had the Stanley Cup Finals. And not NBC. NBC Sports, that network had it. And now they're back on ESPN and TNT, so we'll see if hockey continues, at least tries to grow. But they're getting a good series out of it, even if people are just watching the Stanley Cup finals. The play is pretty fun, and a lot of goals being scored, which always helps for people who don't care about the sport until the playoffs are here. So I watched that along with Fromber's performance. But speaking of like pop stars and places you don't expect, Sean, did you see that LeBron James wound up at the Kendrick Lamar show in Toronto?
No, I didn't see that.
Was he and doing it's less Toronto? About LeBron. I guess I don't know why he needed to be in Toronto for the Kendrick Lamar show. Maybe he just wanted to make an appearance in Drake's hometown. I don't know if he's setting. I don't know if he's, you know, letting everyone know what side he's on, because I think he's been seen at a Drake show recently as well, or at least some Drake thing. But he was in Toronto, and it's less about LeBron and more about the fact that how used to this can you be, like just a 6'8 basketball player doing regular stuff? Like, he's dancing, bopping around in the VIP section. And for me, like, I've been in the locker room before, but these guys are sitting down doing interviews. But if I just saw, like, if you see a 6'8 person walking around, you're going to take notice, right? But so if there's 6'8 LeBron James dancing to Kendrick Lamar. I'm not looking at Kendrick Lamar. I'm just looking at LeBron James because you don't see a lot of 6'8", 6'9", people out in the wild. I kind of forget that because all we do is talk about sports. But I can't remember the last time I saw anyone like over 6'4", unless I was in a Rockets game. So LeBron seems out of place anywhere when you're 6'8". You seem out of place anywhere when you're 6'8". And 6'8", like 260 or whatever he is now, as far as weight is concerned. But him acting like a regular person, dancing to Kendrick Lamar, is like, even on video it looks weird because he's towering over everyone in that section. But, yeah, he was there. That show sold out. Drake's having a tough time of it. He's been having a tough time for a while now. And LeBron was there. I was like, huh. Like Ray East River Nine. I don't think there's anyone over 6'2 here at most. And they're certainly not doing what LeBron was doing, dancing at Kendrick Lamar. So we had the conversion of not the conversion, but the collision of sports and entertainment. A lot of it going on last night as we get to the finals tonight.
Like you mentioned, NFL fans being like, enough with the Taylor Swift stuff. Do you think there's people at the Kendrick Lamar concert that are like, enough with this LeBron guy, all right? I see enough of him on First Take, all right?
I don't think that happens in real life. I don't think that happens in real life.
No? And
even if you're a no, even if you're a noted LeBron hater online, you don't like what he says, you think he's phony. If you see LeBron James in person, a guy who's been in some way in your sports life for the last 20 something years, you're not going to be like, man, get LeBron out of here. That's not how people think and react.
I think the only
in real life,
the only situation, and it wouldn't be myself, because I think I would just be like, wow, that's cool, that's LeBron. The only situation I could think of is if you're set up directly behind LeBron. Then I'd be
if he's obscuring your view.
Yeah, I could see how someone's like, why does LeBron have to be at this one? Kendrick did LA shows. Like, why are you at this one for?
Why are you traveling internationally to obscure my vision?
Bring your passport to watch this.
Yeah, like, I may or may not go to a show tonight. You heard us, at least me talking about it earlier. We had a caller. Elliot asked me if I was going to be there because he's going to be there. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Man, the set list isn't the songs I love, so I'm not sure if I'm going to go. If, like, Alperen Şengün was at this concert standing in front of me, it'd be cool for the first 5 minutes. but if I can't see the stage because he's really into it and he's moving around – and maybe he's got a couple tall buddies with him. Maybe he decided to introduce the other Jabari Smith to Dance Gavin Dance. I'm not going to like that. I got a 6'10 guy and a 6'8 guy obscuring my view of the stage.
Yeah.
No, hey, guys, go sit in the seats. There are seats to be. You can buy seats. Go sit there. Why are you standing in front of me? But in this case, LeBron was in a VIP section.
Oh, okay. That makes
in a
sense.
Space where he had plenty of space to move, so he wasn't obscuring the view of anyone in that section as well. But, yeah, you don't want him standing in front of you. You just want to be able to look to the side and go, oh, look, LeBron's here. You maybe try to get an autograph if you're into that sort of thing. Take a picture. But other than that, I don't need him near me. I don't need that. He was hyped for the show. I don't know. I don't remember what song Kendrick was doing, but LeBron was enjoying himself while Kendrick Lamar was in Drake's home city, because that's what you do. That one's never ending. I'm just going to show you that no matter who you are and where I am, I'm winning this, and particularly if you do it in this hometown. There are some people thinking that Drake would try to get that particular show canceled. Like, hey, we're gonna make sure Kendrick doesn't show up in my city. Did not get done there.
I feel like you should be able to call in a couple favors and get that.
If you're the biggest thing to come out of that place, you're probably not wrong.
Just like, hey, Rob Ford, let's shut this thing down.
I think Rob Ford is dead.
Oh, is he not the mayor?
I think he's even not alive anymore. So, yeah, Rob Ford died in 2016.
God rest his soul. Hey,
could
wow.
you get up on your Toronto history? I know it's all about the grassy for you, but Rob Ford died in 2016. So he was not going to be able to do anything to stop the Kendrick Lamar show from happening, and no one else did either. We had a couple of people.
So hard to look up Toronto mayor. It did, like, a name doesn't immediately pop up.
Yeah, well, that's a mayor of a city that's not in your country. Like, you don't.
Olivia
I don't
Cho.
Know the. I don't Call know the Olivia League City Cho. Mayor. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Olivia Cho's like, hey, it's good for business to have Kendrick play at Rogers Center where the Blue Jays play. Is that a Chow? Is C H O W Chow or Cho? Either Either way, she didn't stop that from going down, and I'm not surprised. We had a couple people, particularly Dustin, respond to our Astros conversation about the hate of former players. He goes, it's different when guys are traded as opposed to when guys leave on their own. While I get that, I would say, did those guys really have any choice? If Correa's market value is one thing and the Astros aren't willing to pay it, there was no choice for Correa other than to go. No one in real life is telling someone to take less money, and that's another part of the sports fan conversation. We expect guys to do things we would never do. Like, this other company is going to pay me 25% more per year than this company, and you want me to stay?
Yeah.
That's just how people – I get it. I'm not immune to those feelings, but how can you really be upset about these Astros? Because from what we can tell, the offers, if there were offers from the Astros, weren't comparable to what was out there on the market. Bregman got way more than the Astros were going to offer. We know Garrett Cole was always going to get more. So maybe the Garrett Cole thing is more about wearing his agent's hat right after they lost the World Series. That could play a part, too. But I get it. Everyone wants their guy to take a hometown discount. If anyone asks you to take less for what you were doing, you go, get out of my face, stay out of my business. But part of the thing is we can be in their business, at least when it comes to their financials. So I understand the feeling. I just don't think it's a realistic or maybe even logical one to have. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We got some things to get to regarding the police blotter, because there is an official breakdown of what actually Jimmy Ward's accused of. We only had family violence as of yesterday. Now we know at least what's in that police report. We'll talk about that and some other things when we get back. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is the place you go to when you want a great car. And it's not just about the great car. It's about the great service. We all can get a vehicle. At least we're all interested in one. But what puts a place over the top is how they treat you. And they're going to treat you like family once you step on that lot. That lot's in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And another great thing about Monument Chevrolet beyond how they treat people is the fact that the prices don't change. If you get excited about a price you see on the website, once you get out on that lot, you're not going to be hit with something drastically different or different at all. They're going to walk you through the process, explain what you need to know, and get you out of there as quickly as possible. They're not going to rush you. They're not going to be upselling you. They're not going to be trying to force you into a vehicle. They're just going to let you know how it goes and what you need to do to get into the car of your dreams. But they also understand that you don't want to be on that lot forever. You want to get the car you want. Get in, get out, and drive away, and they will help you do that. So whether you want a new or pre-owned car or something for your fleet, if you own a business, that's all there for you. And also, they have a parts department, service department as well. If something happens to a vehicle you own, they'll take care of you there too, and they're going to learn your name and make sure you want to come back. So go to the website, monumentchevrolet.com, then go out to Pasadena, it's off of Beltway 8 and 225, and remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're back with Del Olalea
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
If you want to call in, you can. We welcome it, 713-780-3776, or, you know, save your calls for when Michael Carroll gets here. I know a lot of people like to bring up shows they're watching or recommendations they want, so you can call in when Michael joins us at right around 11:30. We try to do that every Friday. But yesterday, the news broke that Jimmy Ward was arrested for what was deemed at the time family violence. Well, now, after time has passed, we find out that it was... He's being accused of strangulation at his home in Magnolia. He's been released on a $30,000 bond, but it's according to apparently once he met with the complainant at his home, and the complainant's name has not been released, and the complainant has also filed emergency protective order, and she alleges that she was assaulted, choked, and threatened by Ward. But, the Montgomery County Sheriff's met the complainant at Ward's home. And then, of course, the incident that I just laid out And the Texans, as I kind of told you yesterday, from their directive of communication, said we are aware of the report involving Jimmy Ward. We are gathering more information and have no further comment at this time. So now that the details are out, I didn't imagine it was going to sound better than family violence. But when you throw in what is being accused, very ugly. We don't know what's real and what isn't. We just know that there is an accusation. And I don't think it's like a test for the Texans. They will do what a lot of teams do. They'll just wait and see. And if he wasn't Jimmy Ward, if he was maybe the 80th guy on the training camp roster coming up, would he still be here? You can certainly ask yourself that question. The fact that he is a D'Amico Ryans guy, brought him in from San Francisco, that may give him a little grace before they make a decision. And also, maybe this is just our policy. Until there's enough information out there, we're not going to make a determination about our roster. And we'll wait and see there. But Jimmy Ward, strangulation, and the complaint says she was assaulted, choked, and threatened by Ward. And that's in the Chronicle that you can find if you so choose. Okay, I mentioned we'll take calls, so let's get to Kenny. He wants to talk a little TV. What's up, Kenny?
Well, Deli Belly, it was supposed to be Kung Fu Kenny, for one.
Oh, okay. It's not my fault.
And you know, we hate Popo, want to kill us in the streets, Fosho. Anyway, have you got a chance to watch Netflix, Mercy for None, dude? Because that thing is rad. Just wanted to get your take on it. Later.
Before I answer that, Sean, after hearing La Salsa / Ryan do his thing. Look, admittedly, when I heard it, I wrinkled my nose. I was like, ugh. But that was my reaction, but I just used a facial expression because I was letting him talk. Did you have a similar reaction when he did what he just did?
I'll be honest. I don't remember what I did, but it is similar to a wrinkled nose or just like a You know, like, we're doing this, okay.
We're doing this. And because he is who he is, we never take it seriously. But, yeah, I was like, oh, this is what's going on this show? Great. But, I have not seen Mercy for None. I don't know if Michael may have recommended that, but I have not seen it. It is on Netflix. I don't know what I'm going to watch this week beyond the Astros and the finals in both the NHL and the NBA. But I'll get there. There was a movie that has Julianne Moore and Sydney Sweeney in it. It was on Apple TV. And Mr. Irrigation's here. He's a long-time listener. He just gave me his card. But it's fine. It's like Sydney Sweeney playing a drug-addicted child of Julianne Moore. I will give her credit. I was not in the least attracted to this character. And Sydney Sweeney, that's her bag. Guys online and watching her on television, they go nuts. That's why they buy her bathwater infused soap. In this case, no one's looking to buy that soap, mostly because it's just annoying. Like, Julianne Moore is the mom doing everything she can to protect her daughter, and of course, there's some ridiculous situation that takes place because of her daughter's addiction to drugs and her loving of a guy on drugs as well. A terrible daughter is what I'll say. That movie's fine. I mean, you don't really have to pay that much attention to it. You can kind of get the gist of what's going on. Julianne Moore does something very smart at the very end to get out of the situation, because we're not going to make Julianne Moore the villain. But Sydney Sweeney, in this role, out on her. I don't want the soap. It's not 11:30, but I'll tell you now, I'm not recommending the movie for anyone who decides they just want to watch Sydney Sweeney and things. This is not your thing. This is not for you.
There's other things.
If you're just looking for the visual stuff, this is not the thing for you. It's a regular old movie that probably it could be. It's in the realm of like a stylized, you can tell there's a lot of money in it, Lifetime movie for the most part. Like, it's the plot of a Lifetime movie with better actors and more money in it. Not a recommend. And Michael didn't bring it up. It premiered like last week, so Michael probably knew better. I probably should have stayed away from it, considering he didn't even talk about it. What's it called again? Echo Valley. Julianne's more runs a horse farm or something or whatever.
I will say Apple TV Plus are the all-time kings of something came out and I had no idea, with stars in it that I had no idea.
They don't do a good job, man.
Until it gets mentioned on this show.
They don't promote things for crap. They don't do a good job. Like, I don't even know that Sydney Sweeney did any press for it. Like, I know she's around, and I saw some dude run up to her, and, hey, sign this bar of soap that I got. But I don't know. I didn't remember her doing any press for Echo Valley. I don't remember the junket with her and Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
They do a bad job.
Yeah.
It's like, and, yeah, like you said, you've got Julianne Moore in it. You've got, you mentioned, you've got the dude from,
Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah, Gleeson. You got him. I don't know how to really pronounce his name, but Domhnall Gleeson, he's been in a lot of things. You're going to recognize that face. And nothing. You just have to be scrolling on Apple TV Plus to figure out that this movie is available.
Yeah, I saw more stuff for Immaculate than I did for this.
I can't speak to it. You would think you have a bankable star in Sydney Sweeney. Yeah, well, Sydney Sweeney as a nun. A pregnant nun, I guess, works for some people, too. Yeah, Hulu, you're right, would do a better job of promoting.
Yeah, like, other streaming movies, like, this isn't a problem for other streaming services. Like,
it really isn't.
Other streaming services can figure, like, Amazon Prime, like, can figure it out. It's just, I don't know.
Like, if Ryan Gosling is in that average movie, The Gray Man, I'm going to know when it's coming out. Netflix is going to do their job and let me know, hey, yeah. You want to watch The Gray Man?
And I'll watch it.
Maybe.
And I'll be
but
wholly
I'll watch
unmoved.
It. I don't care about any of the characters, but I'll watch it, and I will be aware that it's on.
I will look up from my phone every once in a while to watch it, yeah.
Yeah, well, as I'm scrolling
for news. That's what it's built for.
News,
that's literally their business
model. It really is. We don't want to upset you too much. We just want it on. Hey, you can watch it. You don't have to. You won't miss anything if you're not locked in. You can be on your phone. And then they got their legacy stuff like Stranger Things that'll be on that they kind of have. They know people are going to watch, so they have those things like Ozark when it was on. It's still on, obviously, because it's streaming, but when it was still having first-run episodes and stuff. But now they have their other things, like you said, like The Gray Man, like that Gal Gadot movie that no one remembers the name of because it was terrible. Someone remembers the name of it. Of course it's you. Yeah, like Red Notice. You're not supposed to actually care that Red Notice is on. You're just watching it because Gal Gadot's there with Ryan Reynolds and The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
stuff like that.
The Electric State. Yeah, a lot of money spent on these movies that get 5% or not 5%, get 5 stars on all the rating sites out of 10.
It explains why
just, like,
my
perfectly just like. Move.
Yeah, it explains why my Netflix subscription continues to go up for no reason. It's not like the product's getting any better. It's just that they're putting a lot of money into it. And, of course, the NFL. That's probably the reason, them getting into live sports.
That's
as well. Okay.
Reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And and how much did we enjoy the Texans on Netflix last year? They
worth
should have
every
given
penny.
Us money.
Worth every penny.
Yeah. No one would have been out of their right mind to ask for a refund there. But, hey. No, that wasn't going to happen. Okay, we'll go to break with that. Thanks for the call, Kung Fu Kenny, for people who don't know. And there are some people who probably don't. That is a nickname of Kendrick Lamar, someone we talked about earlier in the show. So we'll get into something when we come back. A player who could be on the trade market tweeted out that he missed a certain newsbreaker. I'm not sure why, but that has become a thing. People miss the guy who used to work for ESPN. We'll talk about the player and whether he's actually going to get traded and why anyone would miss Adrian Wojnarowski. We'll talk about that when we get back. The entire station will be out here. Paul Gallant will follow me, followed by the Killer Bee. So if you want to come out here and get a chance to win a really good prize. Now, we're not giving away the bikes today. It'll be something we will take throughout the summer because we have our summer circuit going on. So anytime we have a live remote, you want to come out here and register to win, you can just walk up to the promo table. In this case, it is Skylar, at least for the rest of my time here. She'll take your name. You got a chance to win any e-bike. It's like a pair of e-bikes. Excuse me, it's a $4,000 value. The Power On e-bikes are pretty cool, and so electrical bicycle, $4,000 value for a pair of them. And also, if you just want to come up to East River 9 and enjoy what they have to offer, they have their music tour going on, or their music summer going on out here as well, that you can take advantage of. So a lot going on out here. Maybe you just want to hang out and play some golf or do the pickleball thing. You can. It's out here for you at East River 9. Okay, so we'll get into the Woj conversation about people missing a newsbreaker, but we got the NBA Finals tonight. The Pacers are 3-0 in game fours. The Thunder don't lose two games in a row. I got a feeling this one, because I think at this point with the Pacers winning two games, it's going to be a long series. I just think the Thunder are going to win. The rhythms of the series, unless they are actually the 2004 Pistons, then they're winning tonight, and then they're going to win game five. Although we talked about it yesterday, the difference is it's 2-3-2 back then. Now it's 2-2-1-1-1. I just feel like this is destined to go maybe even seven, certainly six. So I think the Thunder get this one. It is kind of the Thunder's MO to gut one out when they need it the most. And Shea wasn't at his very best in game three. I think this is a night where he goes for like 35. Look, I would like the Pacers to win because it upsets all the predictions that people had about this series and just the Thunder overall, because the conversations about Dynasty are so interesting to me, considering they pop up every year after a team wins, particularly one who had a dominant regular season, and then no one wins back-to-back titles anymore. So ignoring history seems like just part of the conversations. But the Celtics were in the same spot where they had Tatum and Brown. They had Porzingis for another year, and Drew Holiday, and Derek White, and the math they did to play the way they played offense was going to be something they could sustain and win title after title. And now they are one of the biggest question marks going into the offseason. Is Derek White going to be there? Do they have to trade Porzingis because he has a mystery illness that no one can really diagnose or tell us what it is? And Drew Holiday's older, and not as a big of a factor as he was before. So what can they get for him? And even Jaylen Brown could be on the trade block. At least that's the speculation. Not sure the Celtics really have that much of an interest in it. So these things flip really quickly. And some of it has to do with how the game is played. As much as people take issue with it, it is a pretty taxing game to play, this spread it out game that a lot of teams play. And also, long playoff runs. The Celtics, in the 2020s, and slightly before, they've been a team who has been in the contender picture, and they're playing a lot of playoff games. The Nuggets were similar in that way, and they won their title and then could not repeat. The Thunder, a little different. They have not been in this race for that long, but they made the conference semifinals last year. Now they make the finals. Who's to say that they go through a year next year fully healthy? Chet's already had a major injury before he ever played an NBA game. This is not me predicting that a Thunder player will get hurt, but just going by probability, someone on that roster, someone that's a big contributor, will go down. It's just how it's gone. And Jamal Murray with the Nuggets has dealt with what he's dealt with. So the Dynasty stuff seems silly. Maybe we're at a point where Dynasties aren't happening, whether it be the CBA or just how the bodies break down today. So if the Thunder win, that conversation will happen. I don't think it'll happen for the Pacers. We talked about it this morning. They don't have a player that people believe should be on the top 10. And that's generally how this thing goes. Sean, you didn't take part in it, but I was asking the guys, when's the last time a team without a top 10 player won a title? And I went all the way back to the Spurs in 2013-2014. When they lost the first one to the Heat, and then they won the second one. Duncan wasn't considered that. The only one I think you could go to if you thought maybe Tony Parker was a top 15-20 player, but Kawhi wasn't Kawhi yet, so he wasn't that. He eventually became one of those guys. Is that the last team? We're talking over a decade ago?
Yeah, I think that one's also you know, a little different because it's three Hall of Famers that are were past their prime, but still, you know, not as good as they once were, but as good once as they ever was. So, like, there's a little bit of they could still summon it. And so at the moment, it didn't feel like that because that's, you know, four-time champion Tim Duncan winning his fifth and, what, three-time Tony Parker won four? Yeah, whatever. And, like you said, that was kind of the series where Kawhi Leonard, I think, became a top 10 guy for most people. It's like after that series where people start taking him seriously as, again, a top 10 guy. I think a little bit later he kind of became a top 5 guy for a few years there. But I think the Spurs are a good one. It's just that the way they did it was a little bit different. It was kind of the last ring of a run, you know?
Yeah, and Kawhi was the finals MVP that year, so even if he wasn't considered a top 10 player,
was he like on an All-NBA team or anything?
I looked at his regular season. The best he was defensive player of the all defense second team. So he had not a lot of some of that has to do with you have to do it a year or two, and then your reputation allows you to make those lists and win them. And after he harassed LeBron and everyone else in that series, he won a DPOY back to back. So then he became an MVP, at least an MVP candidate after that as well.
I was going to say, like, literally the next season he was 10th in the league in MVP. So he became a top 10 player the next year. Yeah. So
think about how good you have to be to win a finals MVP only scoring 14 points per game.
I know.
It's how crazy good you had to be in all the other aspects to do that.
I will say there was back-to-back years of that where the guy who guarded LeBron on the team that beat LeBron got the MVP just out of, I guess, respect of, like, wow, you really...
Iguodala.
At least held your... Like, Iguodala held his own. He didn't stop LeBron in any way. He just, man, you made it hard for him. Good job.
And he knocked down big shots.
Yeah.
He
would but, I mean, yeah, so. He also was, like, 16 points a game. Like, he wasn't lighting it
true
up.
Yeah, it was one of those, wow, look how good he's playing. And then we decided to give him an MVP for that as opposed to giving it to Steph Curry, who is at the time was their best player at the time and now still is. We're talking over about a decade later, still is the Warriors' best player. So we're talking what the Pacers may do hasn't happened in over a decade. And they're only two wins away. Certainly, if they win tonight, then they should be the favorite to do it. Although I think series odds still favor the Thunder. Pacers 3-0 in Game Four. Is the Thunder don't lose back to back. So we'll see which trend breaks in Game Four tonight in the NBA Finals. We'll come back for hour two here. It's me and Sean till noon. I'm at East River 9. He's back in studio. If you want to get in and call, maybe don't do what Kung Fu Kenny, otherwise known as La Salsa, did. But we'll welcome anything you want to say, almost. 713-780-3776. The second hour coming up.
ESPN. 97.5.